Welcome back to our program. We're glad to have you here for Monday. Election Day is sneaking up on us. Just a couple of weeks, and voters have lots of decisions to make. We have an important state Senate race, several local state House races. There are important proposals to be decided. We've invited Mickey Hurton back to Current State to give us some perspective on the November ballot here, especially locally. Mickey is columnist and associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse, and he's also president of the Michigan Press Association. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
Good to see you. What Lansing area contest or ballot proposal are you most interested in?
Well, I really like the park proposal, the parks and trails. And, you know, I'm sort of discouraged when I see signs out there and on lawns and in, you know, in front of some buildings that
they're out there too.
Yeah, they are. And I can understand that. I mean, parks, if there's any investment in our community that has long-term implications and to make us a better place, it's the parks. I mean, the idea of having a park that now connects Meridian with East Lansing and into the city, I mean, what a wonderful thing. And I use a bunch of our parks. I was just up at Lake Lansing yesterday using that the nature area north of it, and it's just wonderful.
This is a 0.5 mil proposal that would cost, I believe I have my math right, $50 for a homeowner of a house with a market value of $200,000.
And what that really does is increases the value of that house over time because we become a better community.
On Friday, I did speak with a couple of Republicans who are active on the county level, both of whom immediately claimed that Ingham has the highest overall county millage rate in Michigan, higher even than Wayne County, which was I'm a little embarrassed to admit, was a factoid I was not aware of.
And I'm not sure it's true.
Really? You know, it was.
This is election season.
True enough. Both of these guys claimed that even if it were worth taxing residents more, it should arguably go to roads or public safety and not trails. And you mentioned we both seen the signs in opposition to this. So
yeah,
there
I'm
is
sure.
some resistance.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they're not mutually exclusive either. We can fix the roads are a much larger issue than Ingham County itself. Although some towns have taken and are going to take action in Charlotte.
Locally, yes.
Yeah, they're looking for a millage there, so.
You have wondered in print why Curtis Hertel Jr. was the only Democrat running in the 23rd State Senate District here. Why? He would seem to be such a shoo-in.
Yeah, I mean, I was just sort of surprised by the lack of enthusiasm for that race. I mean, Whitmer is a pretty significant politician in our region, you know, mm-hmm. Minority leader of the Senate. Family legacy there, and they're just it. I think it sort of reflects a weak Democratic bench. Now maybe they're rebuilding it, but he was, you know, he sort of just waltzed into that seat without any real competition, and he's certainly not getting competition on the Republican side. It's almost like a plebiscite, you know, anointing him.
Could the thinking be why divide a party when you have a candidate with a record like Curtis Hertel has? With name awareness, why invite divisiveness when you've got such a strong guy to run?
Yeah, I suppose that's it. I was just surprised that it just didn't, you know, that it didn't engender that much interest because it's a pretty important.
It's a blue district, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you know where it's going, and really with the other races too. I mean, I wrote about the lack of Republican willingness to even, you know, compete for some of these seats. But if you look at, you know, Sam Singh is going to be reelected. Mm-hmm. Andy Shore is going to be reelected. I mean, it's, you're right. These are very Democratic districts in a somewhat Republican state at times.
So. Have you learned any more about Hertel's GOP opponent, Craig Whitehead?
No, I mean, I looked. He comes from Leslie. But they haven't mounted any significant campaign that you could see. And I suppose perhaps Republicans see them as just figurehead candidates.
I think that's the common thinking when you get really local on races like this.
But it's not all of them. So in the Tom Cochran race, for example, he's competing against John Hayhoe. I mean, Hayhoe has the endorsement of the Chamber of Commerce, well, no surprise on that, and has made a bit of an effort to at least get a site out there and lay out some positions. But the rest of them, they're really hard to find much information. And, and also on the county level, for the county legislature.
You did write at length about how, and apparently how this has manifested itself. You wrote at some length about how few Republicans have responded to the questionnaires put out by the League of Women Voters. It's just a largely a no-show.
Well, yeah, and just apparently real disinterest. I mean, not even enough to say, well, I'm to lay out the usual, I'm for lower taxes, I'm for, against same-sex marriage. I mean, whatever the standard positions are, just no real interest in that, which is, I guess, a little surprising, a little disheartening, too. I mean, you would like to see real choices. You wouldn't mind seeing some debate on some of these, for some of these races. But, that's how politics seems to work.
Mickey Hurton is our guest here today on Current State. He is a columnist and the associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse. A couple of these county proposals also, I know, grabbed your attention, the trail millage, 0.5 mills we've touched on. There's an Ingham Health Plan millage renewal that is up as well. What's your take on that?
Well, I think renewals are certainly a much easier sell than any kind of increase. And, there is confusion. I mean, well, let's acknowledge that between the Affordable Health Care Act and what people have now and its old policies. I think generally speaking, it's sort of like parks. We are a better community when our people are healthier. And this, first of all, that's good. And secondly, when they're not healthy, we pay. The moment somebody's not healthy and they go into the emergency room and Sparrow charges them $4,000 for a couple of aspirins, we pay that bill because they have no money. Mm-hmm. And so the costs are sort of pushed back onto those who are insured. It's probably is good, although I will say a little confusing. And it's sort of like CATA in many ways. The people who will vote for this won't use it. It's like the bus system. We have CATA, we pay that millage, but most of us never ride the bus. So it's sort of an obligation, I think, that we feel towards the community. And I think healthcare is a good. I think we're better to be healthy than less healthy.
I think the only confusion there that I've been able to pick up, and it is very unscientific, is simply the fact that in the aftermath of the passage of the Affordable Care Act, and just as relevant, I think, the expansion of Medicaid in Michigan, I think there may be some confusion as to why does anyone slip through the cracks now? But the Ingham Health Plan has, according to its supporters, does cover some number of people who wouldn't even be covered by expansion.
Well, and then you would think that if that in fact is the case, then you would think this would be the Republicans would be jumping all over this because they're claiming the Affordable Health Care Act doesn't work, hasn't provided coverage. So clearly they should be supporting this Ingham millage.
Let's talk about the BWL proposals. Again, to keep it real local here with Mickey Hurton of the Lansing City Pulse, you have called the two proposals that voters will face the first step toward regionalization here. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, the reality is that BWL is larger than the city. I mean, it may be owned by the city, but it provides power in East Lansing, parts of DeWitt. I think it's a fair compromise to expand the board. I mean, I wrote a column about that early. We sort of lobbied for it. It does give people in East Lansing, people who get the use of the utility, it gives them some voice. They're not voting members, but, most of these aren't going to be real. These aren't contentious issues anyway. I think personally it brings expertise to help the board fashion policies for the board. So not a bad idea. And then, investing the mayor with emergency powers just seems to me to make sense. I mean, you can't have the utility if there's a catastrophe, a power catastrophe again. It has broader implications, certainly, than just power. It has to do with public safety. Who doesn't have power? How do we find the elderly who are in their homes and perhaps freezing? What about policing actions? What about intergovernment relationships? I think this brings some clarity to it. And I guess no polling on something like this, but it's really not a low risk. It's really a low risk proposition for Lansing voters.
And do you think the utility is prepared for both of these to pass? Is the mayor prepared for his expansion of powers to pass?
He's always prepared for an expansion of power. He's ready for that. I think probably they can go either way. Look, if it doesn't happen, really no harm, no foul either. It's probably, though, Bonero has been consistent. He would like a more regional approach. I mean, we've got the ridiculous Lansing Township, Balkan states, and we've got intergovernment relationships that are sort of thorny at times. Bonero sees the region as one, you know, Lansing and East Lansing as a unified metropolitan area. And this helps. I mean, we have a fire chief now that works through both, you know, a common fire chief for Lansing and East Lansing. The utilities managed by the larger communities, good idea. I mean, this is a gradual process, but this helps. This helps advance that initiative and agenda.
One of those Republicans I spoke with on Friday that I mentioned earlier told me that Mayor Bernero is way behind, way supportive of the county parks millage, for one, because it's another opportunity to funnel some amount of revenue into the city from county taxpayers.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. And what's wrong with that? I mean, this is where did you speak with this Republican? In the city here? In the metro area?
In my office, actually.
Okay, so he's in the Lansing metro area.
Yeah.
They come
in
here for ball games. They come in here to go to MSU. Their kids go to LCC. This is, they sometimes think it's all a one-way street, and certainly it's not. The outer areas of Ingham County are prosperous and work because of Lansing and East Lansing.
Is this regionalization thing would appear to be extremely incremental. It's a little bit at a time, but if both of these were to pass, that would be a step in that direction. Do you think the population becomes more hospitable to the idea of regionalization if measures like this pass?
I think it does. I mean, and why wouldn't it? It sees the advantage. Yeah. It sees there's little downside. The area grows and develops. I mean, you look at what's going to happen along Michigan Avenue. I mean, if all the developments happen, you have Red Cedar. You just had a story today about Michigan Flyer taking properties there. You've got other developments. I think so. And the other thing is funding. The improvements that we need to make the region greater will come from coordinated efforts. Funding mechanisms. The federal government funds regions, not cities. The state looks at regions, not individual communities. So we need to be on board, and I think we're getting there. But you're right, it's gradual and incremental.
Tell us about your thoughts on the 8th District.
Well, that's a tricky one right now. I mean, right now, it's a tough push for Schertzing. You know, the district has been very configured towards the existing Republican stature, structure. You've got Bishop is very conservative. I mean, he holds his conservative credentials out there as proudly as can be. He talks about his, you know, his 100% rating as a conservative, but Mears rated conservative legislatures that he was the most conservative, and he holds that up. And he's got the district, Northern Oakland County, Livingston County. Only when you hit the Ingham County line do all of a sudden Democrats emerge. Schertzing has done most of his campaigning in Oakland and in Livingston, but the district still is—it's a tough sell. It's Bishop. I'm writing about him this week. He is very much the type of Republican we have in Congress right now.
And we've just got a few seconds left. What do you make of your former paper's endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder?
Well,
did it surprise you or not?
Probably not really. Probably had I been there, it might have been a little bit different. I certainly would have pushed more. I would have made a better case for some of Schauer's arguments and probably held up and had more problem with some of Snyder's positions.
Hmm. Mickey Hurton is the associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse, a columnist at City Pulse, and also president of the Michigan Press Association. And I just learned he plays the piano. And next time you're on, Mickey, you play the piano. How's that?
Okay, I'll work up a couple songs.
Thank you, sir.